we're together. I go where he goes where I go, you know, and united in spirit. And so it's by default. But women, you know, women can preach. And I was encouraging myself last night. I was listening to Ann Jimenez on a video, and just listening to her encouraged me. You know, you don't hear a lot. I remember years ago being at Rehoboth and just hearing all these prophecies going out to the congregants and the people that came to our church, you know, how they were going to the mission field and how they were going here and there. And man, is there anything for me? You know, I wondered about that. And I almost had a jealousy, you know. And yet I was called to be at home for many years. And sometimes it looks all good. This last trip, the first 3 to 4 weeks were not that bad. They were relatively bearable. The Guyana part was rough. We're used to air conditioning. We're conditioned. Our blood is conditioned to not bear that kind of heat. I mean, just turn it all off now. Try sleeping in it. And you just sweat profusely. Yeah, I mean, that sounds awful. But you lose electrolytes. You need water. And that was rough. You know, there were times I had headaches. And towards the end, I had brought protein bars, lots of them, because I knew Guyana was going to be a little rough. But I knew that I was getting a little bit too depleted towards the end. You know, you really need a lot of water. And but it's glamorous. I mean, when I used to yearn for it, I had that day. But there's the day that you have to spend at home here. And sometimes that may be just as important or more important in this time and in this hour. And women, I just want to, you know, I want to speak to not only the men, but the women today, because you hold a special part in the gospel. And, you know, I want husbands to turn to their wives, if you have one, and tell them how much God needs them today, how much God needs you. And they need you at home. They need you in the prayer room. God needs you. Okay, he needs us at home, because there is a special thing, a special part that we play at home. I want to read a scripture. You are from 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen priesthood, a holy generation, to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. This is from Peter. He's calling you and telling you what you are, who you are in Christ, what you're called to do, what you're called to be. But I want to bring you back to the realities of being home, of how on a day-to-day basis, how difficult it is to contend with the things at home. I mean, we contended with heat, and people were easy to preach to. It's easier to preach to people that want to hear the gospel. They want to run into the services. They walk for days, like you said, JD. They want to be there. They come back. They dress right. They look good. I don't know how they do it, but they do. It's almost harder to preach at home, because we have a need. We have needs here. We have some work to do here. Don't think it's not important that you're not here. And one of the pastors churches. That was Pastor Daniel on Tobago in his new church. Right about here, he has a sign above the door, and it said, War Room. War Room. I said, oh, man, I want that. I want that sign. I want that War Room. It's important. It's important what we do. But the realities are, it's hard anywhere you go. Because we're contending. We're contending for something. We're contending to save, to give a word, to encourage people out there when you go. Basically, there aren't that many prophets that can uphold a very tired pastor who've been hit by multiple things. Hit time and again, given up their homes, given up so many things in their lives, hit and need encouragement. I remember one pastor in Grace Khan's church, little cute church in Trinidad, so small, it was like going into a garage. That's what it was, really, underneath in a garage. And we got in there, this was one Sunday, and they just started serving us coffee, whatever you wanted. They had nothing. It was like a dirt floor. And then we finally got ready to start the service. And we went around a corner and sat in this little room under this garage where they had fans going and stuff. And, you know, we're sweating. But as soon as the praise and worship leader, he had a shofar. As soon as he started blowing that thing, oh, my gosh, some churches you walk into, they could be the humblest churches. They're so cute. And the people are just so sweet, and they suck the joy. They suck the prophetic. They just, the hunger in their hearts draws it out. And many people drew out the word of God. They drew out the prophetic call. They drew out the prophecies. One prophet, he was all dressed in a white suit. I wish we had that video. I have it on my phone. But he was following God with all his heart. I don't know for how many years. He just fell to his knees and wept. And I said, it like touched me. It just like was so cool. I loved it. I love to see the hunger. I love to see people drawing out the prophetic and the word of God and being encouraged. Many were encouraged. But the body of Christ needs encouragement here. And we need to be reminded of what we're to do home. What we're called to do. It is not easy there. But it is not easy here. And in many ways, maybe a little more difficult, but I say anything that's difficult will be worth it. Because if you don't fight, if you don't stand in the gap, if you quit, if you leave, there will be no victory. There will never be a victory if you give up praying. Never, ever. I learned that hard lesson. You have to keep on, and you have to stick with what God's doing in us and through us and calling us to. Every one of you has a calling. Every one of you has a part in this. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So whatever mindset or whatever's been built up in your mind to come against that, or whatever the devil's done to mitigate that and to tear that down, throw it down. Throw that word down. Throw that negativity down. The tiredness down. The defeat down. And just put it under your feet.
Amen. 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 Yeah.
I want to draw you to Mark 14. We're going to the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you have it on the screen up there? Maybe we could put it up. Mark 14:32, starting at verse 32, whichever one you prefer. Then they came to a place. You got it? I'll read it. I mean, I'll just start reading it. Mark 14:32. They came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And Gethsemane means olive press. That's what it means. And he said, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." Remember, stay here and watch. He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all these things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will." Then again, he came the second time and said, and found them sleeping again. The second time, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour?" The second time, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. The third time, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Is it enough? The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Here we have a story. No, this is true life. This is history of what happens in our Gethsemane. What's supposed to happen? What has happened? What has happened years ago? It's called the Passion. Intense pressure. Drops of blood in the olive press. And there you have the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were called three times to watch, to pray, to contend, and yet they slept and rested. The consequences of this, if they could have only known, this was from 9 p.m. at night till 12 midnight when Jesus was arrested. This was a 3 hour. Every hour, Jesus returned to say, "Sit, watch, pray, get up." He spoke to them three times. And by 12 midnight, if they had only known that in 15 hours, their Jesus would no longer be with them. There's a lot of consequence to not praying, to not pressing. Did you ever think about that? The consequences of not being in a war room, of not coming to prayer meetings, the consequences can be great loss, great, great loss. And remember what I said, with no fight, there will always be an answer. There will always be an answer when you pray and when you don't give up. God will answer you. But the consequences was a loss, a deficit. That's what loss means. The exact opposite of surplus. It's kind of like, can you imagine having a baby or being pregnant with a baby and the doctor, the nurse, the midwife asleep? Right next to you, or, "Man, I'm having this baby. What are they?" You know, that's what it was like for Jesus. Jesus was birthing eternal life, eternal salvation for the world. And they were sleeping. That's why I look at you women who have important positions. Remember, these were men. God, Jesus called men to intercede, to sit, and to pray. But they failed. That's just the story. You have a special, special assignment in that war room, in that olive press. Whether you're a midwife, or a coach on the side of someone giving birth to something in the spirit, that birthing process should never be done alone in God's house. That's why we gather together. It's those that go alone, get out of balance, get out of touch, get sidetracked. And the loss and the sufferings. I mean, I just look. Jesus says, judge by the fruits. He says, judge that by the fruits. I look at three areas that we can judge in our lives, that we can look at, and we're looking for fruits. I'm just starting to get grapes on my vine after 2 years. I have a grapevine. I thought it would do nothing, you know, and they started growing. And the second year, oh my gosh, I got to do something with these vines. So I bought this little arbor and I put it in the side yard and trained the vines to go over the arbor. And I couldn't believe it. This year, there's all these grapes hanging off of it. Our garden. And another, I got, Barbara, I got figs. This year. I don't know how I did. I threw bone meal on it. I threw all kinds of stuff. I throw my scraps in there, turn it over with the dirt. But I got some figs. You know, I get tickled pink down here because I can grow things that I couldn't grow up north. You know, so I get these what do you call those big flowers the size of paper plates? Hibiscus? Like, oh, I just look at what you can grow here. Even though the dirt, you got to work it. But you can grow this cool stuff. But we suffer loss. You know, the deer come in and then, man, they just eat it all up half the time. That's awful. I've learned to churn up in my blender onion juice and garlic. Onions. And I take like a juice and I take up my turkey baster and I feel like the Pope. And they don't come around. They hate anything with an onion smell or scent until it rains and they come running back. So, you know, but man, we suffer loss. Our vines suffer loss. And so the three areas of loss are, which I'm looking at, is our own individual lives. In our own individual lives, we suffer bruises. I mean, this roadway that we walk, the highway, it's supposed to be the highway of holiness, you know? And sometimes it seems like it's the highway. What did I write here? Highway robbery. Highway robbery in our lives, our individual lives. And did you know? You know what the word in the Bible eunuch is? A eunuch. It's a castrated person. Their virility is taken away. They're rendered a servant only. Basically, loss of passion. Loss of passion, gone, taken away, except for their duty. Now, I want to just relate this back to the passion in the garden, in the Gethsemane. What the Peter, James, and John needed more than anything else was passion. Jesus is the one with the passion at the time, sweating beads of blood and tears and pressure. But what they lacked at the hour of most need was the passion. And be it like ever said, if I lost the passion of prayer, of intercession, I would be rendered useless, ineffectual, inoperative for what I'm called to do. Some are called to be servants, but many of you are called to be passionate in your prayer, in your church, for your individual lives. For the church and for our country. And when I see the loss, when I see the loss, as Jesus suffered loss because of a lack of passion, he's calling forth for passion in this hour. And what a eunuch is unable to do is to reproduce. We are called to be living stones, flames of fire, hot for Jesus. A non-producing garden with nothing happening. And I've had many losses. You know, I was born again at a very young age, but I wasn't one that, I didn't know prayer for a long time. I didn't know that I needed to separate myself from things, from certain people I couldn't really walk with or weren't yoked like me. I thought I could change them. I thought maybe if they could get a hold of it, you know, I thought if I could get a hold of them, they would hear me. I remember seeing one of the old, maybe it was Brother Butler. He had somebody up on a chair and on a table, and he says, it's much easier for this person to come down than it is for you to pull somebody up. And I walked for many years not knowing, you know, I needed to be whacked in the head a lot of times. A lot of times. Like whacked and have your heart seared, have your heart broken. I remember Liz praying one Sunday a month ago, tenderize our hearts, Lord. Tenderize our hearts. Do you know, I'm saying, oh my gosh, do you know what she's asking for? You know what that tenderizing is? It's like they beat the chicken, they beat it and pulverize it into pulp. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I've had a lot of losses, a lot of losses. But when you're called, when you are saved, God's going to turn around this loss for him. He will turn it around. Don't think that he won't. Remember who's the winner here. You just can't leave the race. You can't leave the war room, the prayer room. You can't leave your passion. You need to get the passion. Have the passion. I don't want to be rendered a eunuch spiritually. I don't want to be one that just has a duty. And I'm judging by the fruit and the devastation of years on my life. Devastation. I can't tell you how many. I have to count on my fingers the people in my life that have been taken out of my life. They are gone and I will never see them again. What crushing blows it is that if I knew what prayer was like I do today, the loss and the suffering, what could have been different? But we have tomorrow. God gives you tomorrow. And I learned, well, I won't get into that, but I look at our country. I'm looking at the fruit. The fruit of the years have robbed us. Many years. I'm talking about many years. Many years. Many scars. Many falls. Many, many things have happened. I'm talking about that. And I'm looking at the fruit of our country. Over many years, we're like a slowly melting iceberg. Our spiritual heritage, our churches. You know, I'm from the north, and I can't tell you how many churches, monolithic structures, have for sale signs on them. How are we going to pass this mantle to our children? How are we going to, when people are leaving the passion of God, and there's not passing that mantle on? The destruction in our country. Perversion. Our Constitution is legitimizing horrible things. We're paying our taxes to horrible things. Our White House is defiled. Amen. Christians are fined and jailed. The enemy is being set free. I mean, figure that. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those that call evil good and good evil,